The Big 12 got 8 teams into the NCAA tournaments. I'm Pete Mundo. He is Matthew Postens. We are with HeartlandCollegeSports.com covering the Big 12. Selection Sunday came and went. And a bit of a surprise as the Big 12 only gets 8 teams in. That's tied with the SEC. The expectations were 9, but Oklahoma ends up being the first team out. Yeah. Now, Matthew, as we talk about that, first off, it became pretty obvious that as the upsets happened throughout the conference tournaments, we knew that Oklahoma was probably going to be in trouble. And that's exactly what took place with OU squeezed on the outside looking in. How surprised were you by that?
A little bit, just because, you know, when you heard the tournament chairman talk about the fact that I think they had 4 or 5 bid stealers, basically. They had 4 or 5 bids that were stolen by teams that they were not expecting to be part of the field. The only thing that I couldn't really conceptualize in my mind is what that meant to a team like an Oklahoma or a TCU. And now I think back to Thursday when they played. Joe Lunardi, before that game, called that game a win and you're in game when TCU played Oklahoma. TCU won that game. Oklahoma lost that game. TCU's in. And if you look at, you know, the net, the quad one win stuff, TCU, they're 42 in net. They're 5-11 in quad one wins. Oklahoma's a 46 in net. They're 4-12 in quad one wins. Everything else there is pretty much equal. TCU has 1 quad two loss that Oklahoma doesn't have, but Oklahoma also has a 3-6 road record where TCU has a 6-5 road record. So I think if you're looking at it, comparing TCU and Oklahoma, that seems to be where the differentiation was. They looked at the road record and they looked at the quad one wins that both teams had.
But I'm looking at Oklahoma versus Virginia. I mean, Oklahoma doesn't get in. Virginia gets in. OU has a better net. OU has a better KenPom. Oklahoma has a strength of schedule of 21. Virginia's 80. Strength of record is about the same. They were better against quad one, better against quad two. I just think all in all, OU got squeezed here. And it's part of a broader theme to me that the Big 12 in some ways got screwed here this week. The Big 12, that was the best by far college basketball conference in the country, ends up getting 8 teams in. OU gets shorthanded with 8. And I don't know, Matthew, part of me wonders if the narrative of the last couple of weeks that the Big 12 was gaming the net system actually worked with the committee. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist here, but I don't know what else to make of this, because this is clearly the best conference in America. And there's a lot of things to look at that shows they got hosed, including, I saw this, Iowa State was the last of the 2 seeds. They were the 8th team as the NCAA tournament put together its 1-68 field. How is Iowa State 8th on that list? That is ridiculous.
Yeah, that seemed a little odd to me when they revealed the seeding. Like you said, I thought it was going to be a decision between North Carolina and Iowa State. It was actually a decision between North Carolina and Tennessee. So Iowa State wasn't even the first, second seed. They were like you said, they were number 8 overall. You know, Parrish at CBS had a really good comparison of Iowa State and North Carolina, and all things being equal, they're pretty much the same team, except Iowa State has, three more quad one games than North Carolina and has 1 more quad one win. And he made the same point that I made a couple of weeks ago, which is non-conference strength of schedule really shouldn't make a huge difference to me. You know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago because this is what came up. Coaches in the ACC, by the way, the Clemson coach got in, so he's happy. He's happy.
He is
complaining about it. Pitt did not get in, so Jeff Cable's probably not real happy right now. But you know, we talked about this. Like, everybody's schedule is the same. You have the opportunity to put together the same schedule that everybody else has in the country. It's configured the same way. And when you think about, you're playing a 33 game season, I don't really understand why that much weight is put on your non-conference schedule, especially when you're playing anywhere from an 18 to 20 game rigorous conference schedule within a power conference, and you're playing anywhere from 2 to 4 games in a conference tournament. To me, that should carry a little bit more weight than your non-conference schedule.
I hate to sound like the SEC, and I am a little bit here. You know, the SEC says in football, we play a soft, I mean, they don't say they play a soft non-conference, but the argument with the SEC in football is, well, they're the SEC, so they don't have to play a tough non-con. And I don't want to use that mentality for the Big 12. I don't think that's fair. I mean, I do think you should play a tough non-con, and I know like Iowa State had a bad non-con, but when you just win the conference tournament for the toughest conference in the country, that should be worth something. And what I learned is that the committee doesn't really value winning the major conference tournaments. They just don't. I mean, it's fun for the fans, but it feels like it's getting devalued more and more by the year. Is that looking into it too much or not?
Well, the committee chair said that they look at the entirety of the schedule. So they're, you know, kind of used to be back when I was growing up that the conference tournament meant a lot. I mean, those champions would tend to be number one seeds and would slot down as twos and threes, et cetera. And it probably does mean a little bit less now, but I think it also means that they've got to examine, how do they want teams to schedule? If they really want teams to schedule rigorous non-conference schedules, then you probably need to give them guidelines, because Iowa State's here's the thing about Iowa State's strength of schedule, especially now in the transfer era. If you schedule a team, you don't always know what team you're going to get. I mean, Drake is a consistently good program up nearby there that Iowa State plays on a fairly regular basis. There may be one year like this year with the Drake women where they make the tournament, and the Drake men, I think, made the tournament as well. There may be another year where you schedule them and you're expecting them to be like a top 100, net team, and they have a terrible year because everybody transferred out and the guys that transferred in aren't ready. So things are a little bit less consistent with mid-majors and low majors now, to where when you craft a schedule, even though you're crafting it like 3 or 4 months in advance of the season, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get until the end of the season. So I think Iowa State, you can make a case that they're being unfairly punished for creating a schedule, and maybe they didn't know exactly what they were going to get out of it.
Yeah. Well, I'll add this as well. And by the way, I'm Pete Mundo. He's Matthew Postens. We're HeartlandCollegeSports.com covering the Big 12. We are going to be doing a bracket challenge in our forums. So if you're not a member of our message boards, they're free. Sign up. We'll have some guidance on that coming up on Monday. And by the way, if you're on YouTube, hit that thumbs up on the video right now. And of course, subscribe to the podcast. So Iowa State, not only do they get a two seed when there was some consideration for a one seed, but to me, Matthew, I mean, we'll do a full preview middle of the week, but the East Regional is by far the toughest. You've got UConn, you've got Iowa State. They both won their conference titles. You have Auburn, who of course won the SEC. I mean, that's by far the Big Ten champ as well. The conference tournament champ, Illinois, is in there too.
Yeah.
So you've got all these conference tournament champions, all these teams with hot hands, and Iowa State. I mean, if I'm an Iowa State fan, I'm like, that was fun in Kansas City, but I kind of feel like we got screwed here.
Yeah, it's a rough regional. I mean, there's really no question about that. And just in looking at the rest of that schedule, I mean, there's some quality lower seeds in this particular bracket too. I mean, there's a lot of landmines for, UConn. If everything goes chalk, they got to play FAU in the second round. And a lot of folks thought FAU wasn't going to make the tournament because they fell in their conference tournament. Auburn would get San Diego State. They got to the national championship game last year. I mean, you're saying there's potential for a Sweet 16 game between last year's national championship matchup. That should tell you everything you know about the difficulty of this region. And BYU's in there too.
Yeah.
You could have a Sweet 16 between BYU and Iowa State. Potentially. I mean, this is a gauntlet right here. And oh, by the way, Drake is in there too. So, hey.
Yeah. Excellent points. All right. Now, as I look around, Houston got a one seed. We expected that. It was a matter of if Iowa State would join them on that one line. So, I'm looking at Houston's draw. I don't think it's all that tough. The other team in that South Regional out of the Big 12 is Texas Tech with a 6 seed. They get NC State, who made that run, of course, to the ACC championship game and then beat North Carolina. So what about that South Regional? I think for Houston, actually, this thing breaks down pretty darn well. I mean, Marquette as the 2 there doesn't really scare me a lot. In terms of Big 12 teams with a path to the Final Four, I know it's always easier as the 1 seed, but I like Houston's significantly more than anybody else in the Big 12.
Yeah, I think they've got a good path. I mean, A&M is a team they played before. Granted, they're much different teams than they were when they played in mid-December in Houston, but at least it's a team they're familiar with. You know, Nebraska, Fred Hoiberg's their head coach, so at least that's a coach Kelvin Sampson's familiar with, because Hoiberg's been in the business for a while. Wisconsin's solid. You know, everybody in this bracket, I look at them and like, those are solid teams. But there's nobody there that, if I'm Houston, even as thin as Houston is right now, there's nobody in the bracket that really just kind of scares me, like you said. I mean, I think a Marquette-Houston game would be a really interesting game just because I think those two teams are very similar. But, you know, I think Houston kind of caught a break because the region's not as, certainly not as difficult as the one UConn's in.
No, it's not. Now, the other thing, and I mentioned this when I did my reaction show on Saturday, you were busy at the T-Mobile Center, but I think this awful loss to Iowa State is not the worst thing. They maintain a one seed. Kelvin Sampson gets to see his guys, you know, go up in flames a little bit. He gets to hit the reset button with them right before the NCAA tournament. It's kind of a, you know, come down to earth kind of moment. That 11 game winning streak is snapped. I don't think that loss is bad for Houston. I know it may show a lack of depth, which they've been struggling with, but I don't mind it. I think it allows them to hit the reset button going into this thing. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think this will be the same as maybe the back-to-back losses at the beginning of Big 12 play. I feel like that was Kelvin Sampson's opportunity to show his team, hey, I've been telling you what Big 12 play is like for the last 6 months. Now you see what it's like. You go to Iowa State, you lose by four. You go to TCU, you lose at the buzzer. And they turned it right around right after that. And their only loss after that was to a Kansas team on the road in one of the most difficult places to play. So, you know, I think, you know, Kelvin Sampson's such a good coach and he's so good at understanding the pulse of his team. For a guy who had just gotten his clock cleaned by Iowa State, he was pretty loose after the game on Saturday. And I don't think that was because he was making light of losing the Big 12 tournament championship game. I think that was just him, A, understanding that his team does have depth issues right now and will have depth issues the rest of the tournament, and B, that he has a much better team than they showed Saturday night.
Well, I'm with you there. You go to the Midwest in the Big 12, TCU's a 9, Kansas is a 4. Texas is the 7. Let me share this stat I saw on Kansas. This is amazing, amazing stuff for the Jayhawks. Teams with consecutive seasons getting a top 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. Kansas has 23 straight seasons getting a top 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. The next closest is Purdue and Baylor with 4. God. Arizona has 3, Tennessee 3, UConn 2, Houston 2, Marquette 2, Alabama 2. I mean, listen, it is just unbelievable. And I'm not knocking KU fans when I say this. They'll admit this. They are so spoiled. We're talking about this team as a 4 seed, like the freaking world is ending. And they've done this 23 straight years, Matthew. I mean, yeah. It is unbelievable.
I ran into a KU fan on the elevator during the tournament. I think this was just after they lost in the second round. And she said the same thing. We're pretty spoiled. We get it. You know, I don't think anybody in Lawrence is walking around thinking, maybe they are thinking the sky is falling. I mean, you know, it from their perspective, that probably is being a 4 seed. But this is actually a good road. I mean, Samford's a good team, but it's a team that they're capable of beating if they're full strength. Gonzaga, McNeese, you know, McNeese could upset Gonzaga, and that would be a very interesting second round game. A lot of people are picking McNeese to upset Gonzaga. I'm not 100% there on that, but either way, that's a winnable game for Kansas, even as shorthanded as they are. I think they got a pretty reasonable break to get to the Sweet 16. I don't think the path is just, you know, absolutely merciless for them to get to the second weekend of the tournament.
I don't think it is either. And honestly, if they draw Purdue, I mean, they could draw TCU, but if they draw Purdue in a Sweet 16 game, you know, Dickinson down low, I mean, it's not a matchup I love, but, you know, they could take on Purdue. I'll tell you what, though, I was looking at this and Bill Self mentioned this right after the bracket came out. Samford is 7th in the NCAA in 3-point shooting.
Yeah.
Kansas defends the three ball. They're 152nd in the nation. We know they've struggled defending the three. Samford is going to be bombs away. Mm-hmm. If they get hot, I mean, we'll talk more about it later in the week, but it could be an early exit for KU. It just remains to be seen. Texas has one of the playing games in the first round. They ended up drawing a 7 seed. They would face Tennessee or St. Peter's in the second round. How about this Texas team, which we thought might be on the bubble down the stretch, pretty comfortably getting in as a 7?
Yeah, that was a pretty comfortable seating. I kind of expected them to be an 8 personally. You know, just looking at their net and everything. Nope, can't do that. Live television people.
You pulling up the net? Rankings?
So they're 30 right now with a 4-6 road record. They're 5-9 in quad one wins. They're 3-2 in quad two and 5-1 in quad three. So they've got a quad three loss, which those are the losses along with quad four that the committee really looks at. But I think this is a case where maybe the Big 12's overall strength of schedule and overall net kind of helped pull them up a little bit. Because while they turned it around, I think, in late February, early March, and won a few games they needed to win, I wasn't really that impressed with how they played in Kansas City. And I kind of feel like this could be a tournament where they lose in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not be surprised by that either. Sometimes you catch that team with a hot hand after a play-in game, which can be dangerous, especially with Texas kind of struggling down the stretch here. You go to the West Regional. This is by far, to me, the weakest regional of the four. UNC is the one, Arizona is the two, and Baylor, the only Big 12 team in this regional, is the three. This is, I think it's a great potential run for Baylor here. Arizona is always a joke in the tournament. I mean, it's become comical now how they just seem to burn out come March. UNC's, you know, we saw what happened to them on Saturday night. I don't know. I think there's kind of a lot of just mediocrity in this regional. How do you see this thing? And Baylor coming in as a 3 seed, which certainly was not a surprise.
Yeah, it's an interesting path. I thought Baylor might be a 4, just to be honest, after losing in the semifinal game. It's kind of hard to gauge where the committee feels like a team like Baylor should be. Baylor got a double bye. They lost in the semis. I like their side of the bracket. I think they're a better team than Clemson. I think they're a better team than Dayton. I would love to see a Sweet 16 head-to-head with them in Arizona. And then the other side of the bracket, I mean, it's manageable, honestly. And there's a lot of teams there on that other side, Charleston, Grand Canyon, that could really wreak a lot of havoc on that side of the bracket. So it wouldn't surprise me at all, just looking at this, if this is the bracket that kind of becomes the chaos bracket, where you see a lot of high seeds lose to a lot of low seeds. And maybe this is where your FAU or your San Diego State comes from in this tournament. Cause there's a lot of matchups here where I look at it and go, I look at this, honestly, I can see Alabama getting out of here and getting to the Final Four.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me one bit. I think you look at this one and it's like you said, it's coin flips up and down the entire bracket. And it's anybody's guess who comes out of this thing. If you're looking right now, Matthew, and you see 8 Big 12 teams in, and, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, 8 Big 12 teams, 8 SEC teams, the Mountain West got 6 in. The Big East only got 3 teams in. I mean, St. John's, Providence, Seton Hall all got squeezed a little bit.
Yeah.
I know we could sit here all day and bitch and moan about the committee. I don't want to do that. But it does feel to me, and forget Kansas State being in the conversation. We knew that wasn't going to happen, but still, a lot of K-State fans are like, what about us? Is it fair to say maybe just the sport has become so complex and it's so long of a season, it's hard to really have a formula that works for everybody. I don't want to give them excuses, but I think they missed a lot here this time around.
Yeah. I think, you know, we go back to the gaming the system conversation, and I would have no problem if the committee that put together the net ratings wanted to go back and readjust some things. Like, I don't think there should be as much of an emphasis on non-conference in terms of the context of how you grade a team overall. If you're playing 2/3 of your games in conference and you're playing 2/3 of your games against high major competition, that should be a pretty good sample size of how good you are or how bad you are, not how much you blew out X team by, or whether you beat a USC head to head in the first week of the season. That really should be more of an emphasis on what you do in conference. I would also, argue that margin of victory, if they're figuring that in here, margin of victory doesn't matter that much to me at all. It's about whether you win or lose. I mean, maybe there's some factoring into that that I'm not overlooking, but part of the point that some of these ACC coaches were making was, well, Iowa State's pulling out teams by 40. Like, well, why don't you go blow out a team by 40? If that makes a difference to the formula, then that's what you should go do. So I think, like anything else, when you put all of your eggs in one basket, and I know that they have a lot of metrics they can look at, but net is like the tool they use
to
figure out this field. If they feel like there are flaws in the system, then try to adjust for the flaws next year. So teams like Oklahoma, like St. John's, teams that have, the kind of profiles that usually are successful in this tournament, don't get squeezed out. And then we get into the conversation about expanding the tournament. And this, I think this bracket gives those folks a lot of fodder to talk about expansion of the tournament and more at-large bids, because I think you can make a case that, a healthy half a dozen quality teams probably got left out of this bracket.
Yeah. We talked about Oklahoma. I would include Kansas State. I say that, yes, with some Big 12 bias. I mentioned three Big East teams that may have been on the outside looking in. Certainly seemed like Seton Hall and St. John's had the best argument there. So you're right about that. Now, when you look at expansion, I know Brett Yormark spoke a little bit about that at the Big 12 tournament last week. He's open to what? 76 is what Brett Yormark is open to expanding to?
What he said was 76 is the number he's heard. So it was kind of a weird quote, because
he's open
to expansion as long as it increases access. I would assume he means increases access for his conference. And I'll say this about expansion: I'm okay with expanding the field a little bit more, as long as we don't take away the automatic bids for all the conferences. That I don't want to go where the NIT has gone this year, where they've eliminated the auto bids for the regular season champions who don't win their conference tournaments. And instead, they're turning over two bids to each of the Power Six teams based on NCAA net. I don't want to go that route. I still want every conference to have the opportunity to put a team in the field, even if they're just a one bid conference. And if you want to add some at-large bids, I'm okay with that, because I think this is starting to prove that the distribution of talent in college basketball via the transfer portal and NIL and everything else is really starting to get distributed to a point where teams like FAU, San Diego State, and other teams like that can be competitive from year to year.
I agree. I don't want to go to 96.
No, I think that's too much. Way too much.
If they want to go to 76 for some at-larges, I'm okay with that. I also don't want to take out the auto bid, because it's kind of like what's going on right now in college sports. It's kind of like college basketball. The regular season can be slow, and then you get to March and it's the greatest sport like ever. Mm-hmm. Meantime, college football has the incredible regular season. And let's be honest, the postseason, the bowl season can kind of drag on. So they're kind of flip-flopped right now. They each have their own issues. But if you're college basketball, you've got the greatest product when it comes to this tournament. If you go to 96, that's too much. I mean, at that point, why even play a regular season? But if you want to talk about some of these bubble teams like we're discussing tonight, who do have, I think, legitimate reasons to be upset with why they're not in, do some more playing games, however the math works out to make this a thing, I'm okay with that. And frankly, I think the Big 12 would benefit from that as they set to expand to 16 teams. And you're adding Arizona. You're adding Arizona State. Even though Arizona State's not in the field, they got a great coach in Bobby Hurley. Colorado's in, Utah. So this could be good for the Big 12, just for some of those teams in the middle of the pack that are kind of waiting for their moment and still trying to get into a tournament like this, which is going to be tough in the Big 12 going forward. There's no doubt about it.
And it's going to be tough in the SEC, and it's going to be tough in the Big Ten, because you're talking about conferences, and the ACC too, conferences with at least 16, if not 17 or 18 teams. And that's part of why you see Greg Sankey kind of leading this conversation, because he's doing the math in his head, just like the other three conference commissioners are. And they're realizing that with 32 automatic bids and basically 36 at-large bids. There's only so many opportunities for my conference to get into the tournament. And while the tournament is great, people all should also understand that that conferences get paid units based on how their teams play. So if, you know, the Big 12 has a big year where two teams get to the Final Four and a couple of other teams get to the Sweet 16, that can be anywhere from $4 to $5 million for the conference. So there's a financial proposition to wanting to expand as well.
All right. I want to touch on this here. I just saw this on Twitter. Rocco Miller tweeting this, college hoops bracketologist. The official seed list confirms what many suspected. BYU was supposed to be the best 5 seed, and they moved down to a 6 seed to accommodate not playing on Sundays. So that is very interesting. And this was shared by Mitch Harper, a BYU insider at KSL Sports. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, I'm not telling BYU how to run into university. They know what they're doing, but that's a tough spot because now BYU is a 6 seed in the toughest regional in this entire tournament.
Yeah. So here's the thing about that. And the chair of the committee actually discussed this. So they seed everybody, obviously. And then they've got, so they give UConn, they tell UConn, you're the number one overall seed. Where do you want to go? And they said, well, we want to go to Boston. Okay. From there, when they start building the bracket, part of it's about mileage and geography. So if they get teams that are too far afield, they kind of have to redo it a little bit. They also seed everybody 1 to 68. And if they have to start moving teams around, as long as they're within 5 seed lines, they consider that to be a non-factor. So if BYU was a 5 and they moved to a 6, they could only move like 5 spots. So if they were like the top number 5 seed, they would have only been allowed to move down to the top number 6 seed.
Yep.
So there's a little, they do a little gerrymandering anyway, based on that, just because they're trying to keep teams in pods as much as they can. But yeah, I mean, those are the kinds of accommodations the NCAA will make in those kinds of situations. And BYU's made it clear they don't want to play on Sundays. The Big 12 has accommodated that by making their baseball series Thursday, Friday, Saturday, as opposed to Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's true. That's a good point. All right. Well, it is. There's a lot that we're going to be reacting to in the days ahead. A ton of written content that we're going to be sharing as well at heartlandcollegesports.com. You want to be subscribed to the show on YouTube and on the podcast. We're going to have a lot of great stuff coming your way this week. And of course, on those message boards, where we'll be giving away some gear in our bracketology tournament, or what are we calling it? The bracket challenge, I guess, is what we'll call it. And that's going to be up starting on Monday morning, first thing. So go sign up for those free message boards. And Matthew, we'll do our full preview and picks coming up here middle of the week. How's that sound?
It sounds great. Got a few hours to research.
Yeah. Get researching, my man. I know, you know, everyone watching right now, and we've got hundreds of live viewers on this show as we speak. They are going to be betting their mortgages on your picks. So don't let them down.
Don't do that. Don't do that. we had this discussion last week. I don't even know what the minus and the plus means.
You're like, right.
+300. Well, I don't even understand that. So
fine. You can pick his teams, but do not look to him for picks against the spread. That's not his forte.
Just straight up.
That's where Matthew's at his best. No one knows Big 12 basketball like him. It has been great to be here with you throughout just an incredible Big 12 season. And we have so much left with the NCAA tournament kicking off this week. Subscribe, hit that thumbs up right there below you on the YouTube channel. And we'll be carrying a lot of coverage this week. Have a great rest of the day. Go Big 12, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.